This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent. Match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
We have seen record job growth. We have seen record corporate investment. And as a result, we have seen record receipts, surplus after surplus after surplus. More people are moving here for the first time in 10 years. And that is all translated into financial flexibility for us to provide even more tax relief. And so today I announced our initiative to provide no taxes on tips to all of those hardworking folks in the hospitality and restaurant and food industry, personal services. This is over 250,000 Virginians who work so hard. This is a great way for them to keep more money in their pocket as opposed to giving it to a government. We're already running surpluses, and therefore no taxes on tips is going to become the mantra in Virginia.
So Governor Youngkin is talking about one of those Donald Trump economic policies, no tax on tips, and we're seeing it start to get some legs and take some action. Let's get to our friend Steve Moore, the expert when it comes to all things economics, and his new book, The Trump Economic Miracle and the Plan to Unleash Prosperity Again. Welcome back, Steve. It's good to have you here.
Well, Merry Christmas. Great to be with you. And I love that. You know, I live in Virginia. I had not heard that news that the no tax on tips is coming to Virginia. It should come to every state. And of course, we'll do that at the federal level when Trump gets into office. And incidentally, isn't it amazing? You know, Trump is not really president yet. He's not president for another four weeks, but it seems like he's in charge. And I don't know, have you seen Joe Biden at all? But I see Donald Trump all over the place. He's meeting with foreign leaders. He's bringing capital in the United States at a big press conference today about a huge, I think it was $50 to $100 billion of new investment in the United States. $100 billion by a Japanese company that's going to invest in, I think, 100,000 jobs or something.
Yes.
So it's just amazing. He is racing out of the gate. And as I said, he doesn't get inaugurated till January 20th. But it just seems like he's the president.
Yes. And it's kind of like nobody seems to mind. I keep saying somebody's been playing president for a long time. It wasn't Joe Biden. Whoever was pulling the reins before doesn't seem like they're trying to stop Trump. You know, talk to me a little bit about Donald Trump's ability to make deals, because the SoftBank CEO Masayoshi, who was talking about this $100 billion investment, I don't know if you've seen this particular part of it, but as Trump was introducing Masa to the press conference, he was like, I'd like to make it actually $200 billion.
I did see that.
I mean, he's making deals in the middle of announcing the current deal that they have on the table.
Yeah, and he also said this is the first of many big deals that are going to be forthcoming in the weeks and months ahead. You know what? Look, he was very good in the press conference today, and he basically said, look, We're going to cut tax rates. We're going to have one of the lowest tax rates in the world on businesses. We're going to get rid of some of these onerous regulations that make it expensive to do business. We're going to produce more American energy, which reduces our energy costs in America. And this is going to be like a magnet, he said, to bring companies and jobs back to the United States. And he's right about that. And then, you know, he was saying that, these tax cuts that he's talking about may even pay for themselves, because as you get more business and more people working, you get more tax revenue. And I thought, gee, that's the Laffer curve. That's, the Reagan idea. And it always seems to work. So I think it's amazing. And I just love, by the way, his demeanor. He's not, I've always said, and I've done your show for many years now, and I'm a friend of Donald Trump's, and I'm an incredible admirer of his, and I've worked with him, but I've always said, there's a good Trump and a bad Trump. But boy, all we've seen since, the last 3 months is the good Trump. Mm-hmm. He's been under control. He's been calm. He's been, magnanimous. He's been modest,
yeah.
But he's gone out and he's just doing the job. He's not name calling. And his approval rating today, Annie, is higher than it has ever been.
Man, it's so exciting to see this. I've referred to your book, The Trump Economic Miracle and the Plan to Unleash Prosperity Again. It sure is simpler to unleash prosperity when you have people begging to come have dinner at Mar-a-Lago, like the Bezoses and the Tim Cooks and the Zuckerbergs of the world. And then you have these world leaders who are making these phone calls.
Oh, yeah.
I'm kind of like jaw dropped at how much prosperity could be in front of us, knowing that he may not have all of that friction as he moves forward to try to make America great again.
Yeah, I think I had said many months ago on your show that we might have violence with Trump won, and he did win, and I was completely wrong on that. It's been very calm in the cities, and, thank God. And because so many of my Democratic friends are, who hated Trump 8 years ago, today say, well, he's doing some pretty good things. He's got some good ideas. So people are more open-minded to him. And so he's got an incredible amount of political capital right now. I want to race right out of the gates. He told me he's going to be signing a stack of executive orders, an inch thick. The first day he's in office, the first hours he's in office, he's chomping at the bit to do this. So he's going to race out of the gates like Secretariat. It's going to be a really exciting first 100 days, and I think you're going to really see the dividends from this. But I'm not here to tell you, though, that everything's fine and dandy, because I'm looking at some of the numbers, and the inflation is not over. Some of these lingering effects of Bidenomics are still going to be with us. So, I don't want to be too Pollyannish here, because there's a lot of work to be done.
We're speaking with Steve Moore. He's a distinguished fellow in economics at the Heritage Foundation, a Trump economic advisor as well. A lot of what we have seen from Donald Trump on the campaign as far as promises go is very much so America first. And I know I know if I say to you something about tariffs, you're going to tell me you're a free trade guy. I know that's coming, but I already know that.
You know me too well.
Yeah, I do know that, Steve. But when I see the way he's talking about it, reciprocity with our trade partners across the globe, it seems as though he's not just protecting the American consumer, which is a lot of people who want to just oppose Trump are like, it's going to cost a lot more for the American consumer. Yeah. He's talking about protecting American business, American manufacturing. Tell me about what this direction of where he's going, including the tariffs, how this might affect our American economy.
Well, it's a really good point you're making. And I have to say that he made this point in the press conference today when he said, we will have tariffs. He said, but if companies come into the United States and create jobs here in Michigan, Ohio, Missouri, California, Maine, then they're only going to have to pay a 15% tax. So in other words, what he's doing is saying, OK, if you're going to buy stuff that's coming in from, let's say China, you're going to have to pay a tariff on that at the border. But if you make it here, you'll pay less tax. And so if that's the case, I'm very open-minded to that. I mean, look, I don't like tariffs or taxes. I don't like, and some things have to be made abroad. Some things, there's a law of comparative advantage. But to the extent that we can make more things here employing American workers, I'm all in favor of that. How about you?
Yeah, 100%. And being able to buy American, made in America. And I think that's a really exciting thing moving forward. One last quick question before we let you go. We're speaking with Steve Moore right now. One of the other big things, he's got economic, you know, first day initiatives that he's going to invest in. But of course, the border is another one. And one thing I keep hearing a lot of the people on the leftist side of the media say, you know, if you deport these people, who's going to do those jobs? And, you know, I'm thinking about times in American history where we've preyed upon super cheap labor for production. I'm wondering what your thoughts are on the economy of the deportation of a lot of these people who are here, many of them who do have jobs.
It's a tough question because, look, let's start with what we can and all should agree on, which is you start with the criminals and the people who would do damage to the country and have done harm to the American citizens, and, you know, the drug dealers, the terrorists, the criminal element. You know, if you're in the country illegally and you've committed a crime, you're out of here. Right. And I don't understand why Joe Biden has let these people stay. And that's a lot. You know, that's probably a million people or so that will have to leave. Now, what do we do about people who've come into the country and they're just working and, you know, trying to make a good living for themselves and so on? I don't know. I'm not so sure I want to see those people. Look, we need workers in this country. The birth rate is falling. 5,000 baby boomers are retiring every day. I'm very undecided about this. I do not want to see mass deportation. I don't think the American people do either. But maybe, you know, what do we do about these folks? Do we make them pay a penalty? Do we, do we have them go back and then reapply, you know, for admittance? I don't know. It's a tough one for me because, you know, people are just coming in here working and, you know, hard and that kind of thing. Well, that's, you know, they shouldn't have come in illegally, but they're not doing harm. Anybody who's working is not doing harm to our country. Now, if somebody comes in and goes on welfare, yeah, we can't come to this country and just go on welfare for government benefits. We're going to bankrupt the country.
Yeah. I just think that when Trump is addressing the border issue and the economy issue, I feel like the deal maker is going to make some deals that make some hardliners in the political parties bristle quite a bit. But I think realistically going forward, there's an opportunity to fix a system overall.
Well,
that
one thing he did say in his press conference, because he's been talking a bit about this, and, you know, he said, look, we don't want to separate families. Of course we don't. You know, we don't want to separate children from their parents and that kind of thing. So we have to work it out in a humane but economically sensible way. But let's start with it. Why would Joe Biden let these criminals stay here? Is he like trying to hurt our country?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay. Completely agree.
And then, of course, you have to. I forgot. The other thing you have to do is stop the illegal entry. Right. You just got to. You know, he talked a lot about this at the. You know. By the way, did you see that Biden is trying to sell off the materials that we need to build the wall?
A nickel on the dollar.
It's crazy. It's subversive.
Yep.
And Trump was angry about that. I mean, he had a very good press conference today. He was very much under, but you could tell he was angry. He's like, why would Joe Biden do this? Now we're going to have to buy it back at 20 times what we sold it for.
Mm. We're 35 days away from Inauguration Day, Steve. I have a countdown on my phone, so I can always know how close we are. It makes me smile each time. Thank you so much for your time today. We always appreciate you.
Okay, Annie, have a great week. And
Merry Christmas to you, Steve Moore. We appreciate you. Steve Moore is a distinguished fellow in economics at the Heritage Foundation, an economic advisor to Donald Trump, and a Monday guest on our show. One of the coolest guests that we have. We had him on. I don't know. We booked him a few times. Was he coming on, Brad, before you were here?
Yeah. He was on before me.
So you came in September of 2021.
Yeah.
So he has been on for quite some time. I guess Katie had booked him at the time. And one time he goes, we should do this more often. We should do this weekly. He said it on the air. And we were like, okay.
Oh, yeah. That's the genesis, huh?
Yes. Let's go. Let's do that. And he was advising. I think he might have been on the show when Trump was president, so it might have been even in 2019.
Yeah, I would think so.
It's been a long time. But one of my favorite people who we have on with regularity, because he gives us such an interesting up-close-and-personal view, and he's not afraid to say like a negative thing here, a negative thing there about President Trump. But I just, especially the way he was making the point at the beginning of that conversation, he's like, Donald Trump's not even the president yet. and things are moving at a fast pace in the correct direction.
$100 billion investment from a major bank. Well, maybe $200 billion.
Developed in the middle of the conversation. And then Donald Trump put his arm around Moss's neck.
If you didn't see the video, you got to see. I mean, I think we have it on our stream. You can rewind it to that moment, the first segment.
It was amazing. All right, you want to take a quick break? Congresswoman Mary Miller, not in studio, but on air with us when we come back. She is the 15th District Representative in the United States House of Representatives in Illinois, and we're going to talk to her. She has been involved with a lot of the developments that have been coming along with the Trump transition team. We'll hear from Congressman Mary Miller about how she expects the unity of the Republican House. Ryan, isn't it like the biggest question mark that exists is can the Republicans act as one unit in the new Congress, in the House of Representatives? Because if they can't, this is down the drain fast.
You got a narrow majority.
Yes. But you've got the majority.
You do have it.
Let's talk to Congresswoman Mary Miller when we come back. And then after that, we'll get to a discussion about the YouTube live chat poll, which I don't even know if I've mentioned yet today. Do you care about the mysterious drones over the United States? Yes or no? Initially, I was going to ask the question, do you believe that the United States government knows the whole story of the drones? And then, of course, President Trump at his press conference, he was asked about him, and he's like, they know. The government knows. The military knows. They watch these things take off and land. They know exactly what's going on and why they aren't telling you. I have no idea. So I'm glad I didn't ask that question. But I do want to know how much you care about the mysterious drones over the United States, because this is one of those stories. Sometimes we kind of, professionally, but also privately, get extra interested in the story. I never want to be so interested in something that I'm pushing it upon y'all. And you're going, okay, Annie, enough of the drones. So let us know on the Annie Fry YouTube live chat poll if you're still interested in these mysterious drones and the story behind them. When we come back, Congresswoman Mary Miller. Don't go away.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
I'm Tank Sinatra.
And I'm Investigator Slater.
And together we co-host a podcast called Psychopedia, which is a true crime podcast infused with comedy, making it a crimedy. Each week, Investigator Slater brings us a wild and thoroughly researched true crime case. I'm here to digest it all and react just like you probably are right there on the other side of the microphone.
Somehow, I've got to present each case with the detail and respect it deserves, while also cracking up at Tank's perfectly timed humor and thought-provoking questions.
Listen to and follow Psychopedia on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. When we
finally kiss goodnight. Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Thank you for being with us this afternoon. Just wrapped up a great conversation with Steve Moore of the Heritage Foundation. He's a distinguished fellow in economics there. Lots of great conversation about the successes that Donald Trump is already having before he's even gotten into office. Economically speaking, it just feels like we are chomping at the bit to get out of the gate, and it's very exciting to watch. Let's get to our next guest here. Congresswoman Mary Miller joins us once again. She is the representative from Illinois' 15th district and a very great conservative representative at that. Congresswoman, thank you for coming on the show with us today. It's good to have you back.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Annie. You know, we're very hopeful.
Tell me about your experience right now. You've been in Congress for a little bit now. You're past your freshman year, of course, and you know how things operate, but you've been watching them operate under Joe Biden. What is it like to be a part of a continued Republican majority in the House with Donald Trump coming back into the Oval Office?
Well, I've been down to Mar-a-Lago several times. I've been involved in the transition team, and I'm very excited about his appointments. And this is a new day in D.C. You know, obviously, him being a strong leader and then having the House and the Senate to back him up. We've got a majority in the Supreme Court, and then we've got all these outside sources to help us with Elon Musk and Vivek and Charlie Kirk's doing great work on the campuses. And I'm just very excited and hopeful for what's to come.
Yeah, I think that's kind of the vibe that most people have. Certainly when I'm running into people in my private life and everybody's just smiling a little bit more. Granted, they know where I am at on the politics. It's just a little bit happier on this side. Mm-hmm. But I also, you know, think that there's an opportunity here. The Republican coalition that came together to put Donald Trump back in the Oval Office looks differently than the one that sent him there the first time, the one that tried to send him there in 2020. That joy that a lot of us feel that Donald Trump is going to be back in office, the things that are going to come from him being there and the Republicans in the House of Representatives with the majority and same with the Senate, those things aren't just going to benefit Trump voters. What are you thinking America is going to see with the support of this Republican Congress behind Donald Trump's America First mission?
I think we're going to see more unity. We definitely have more America First members in Congress, and I think that we're going to be there to support that agenda.
I think that that's going to be so important. Now, the majority in the House of Representatives, Congresswoman, is not large, and it would be nice if it were bigger, but it's not. It is a majority nonetheless. We saw at the beginning of the last Congress a whole bunch of turmoil over who was going to be the speaker. How is the coalition of Republicans, the majority, how are they looking going into this next Congress and their ability to stick together?
Well, President Trump is in charge, and I believe Speaker Johnson is excited about following his lead and, you know, getting everybody unified behind the agenda, which is number one, the border, number two, energy, number three, parental rights, and then also getting the tax cut and job acts renewed.
Do you feel like it always seems like the Democrats, they stick together so well. They pretty much take their orders from the top, and Democrats tend to go the way of what the Democrat Party tells them to do. And I feel like maybe it's a little subjective on my part that Republican leadership often listens a little bit more to their constituencies, which is a good thing to say about the Republicans that are in elected office. Is there a clear enough mandate under Donald Trump that very slim majority of Republicans in the House, do you think that the majority of things that Donald Trump wants to get done aren't going to have any trouble in the House of Representatives?
There's definitely a clear mandate, and people are excited out. The other members are excited to rally behind this agenda. I mean, who could disparage this agenda? It's America First, and we've been living under America Last, and Biden and his regime have deeply damaged our country and destabilized the whole world. So we're very excited for the opportunity to set things right again.
Do you anticipate, Congresswoman Mary Miller speaking with us right now from Illinois' 15th district, do you anticipate for folks like me who are sitting here just waiting to see what the next news headline is, in 35 mm-hmm. days, Donald Trump is inaugurated. We understand that he's going to have maybe some 25 executive orders that he's going to sign right away when he reassumes the office. How active will the House of Representatives be on minute one of Donald Trump's new presidency?
Oh, oh, we're going to be so active. We're very excited. President Trump has already, before he was ever elected, out of his own pocket, was paying for his transition team to get things done for the American people. It's going to be very exciting. I want to tell everybody, hang on to your hats. I think it will not only be exciting, but he will bring a little humor to life, too.
That's exciting to hear. We're seeing Joe Biden. That's kind of an over-exaggerated statement. We're not really seeing Joe Biden, but
where is Joe Biden?
Where is Joe Biden? It's really quite something. I'm going to play a clip from Senator Bernie Sanders here on one of President Biden's.
When you have his opponents going after his family, as a father, as a parent, I think we can all understand Biden trying to protect his son and his family. On the other hand, I think the precedent being set is kind of a dangerous one. It was a very wide open pardon, which could, under different circumstances, lead to problems in terms of future presidents.
Senator Sanders is worried about, you know, the people in power going after political enemies while he's talking about the Hunter Biden pardon. What do you make of that?
A hypocrite. That's all I can say. What? This is ridiculous. They went after President Trump's family, and Hunter Biden is a criminal. He's been taking money from China and Ukraine for Joe Biden, basically. And then they've been owned by these countries, which you have to wonder, like, why would they sell our country out to Ukraine and China? It's because they're owned by them. And I always thought whenever Zelensky came, he was here as a presence to remind Joe Biden that he's owned by him.
Hmm. Do you think how's Donald Trump going to handle the Zelensky factor?
Well, we've been seeing him on the world stage really demonstrating strength. Like, I'm back and I'm in control. And I thought the handshake he made with the president of France was a great visual for everybody.
Do people brace themselves when Donald Trump comes in and gets ready to make that power move handshake? I don't know if he does the same towards women or men or if there's any difference there, but that is a famous handshake from Donald Trump.
It depends on who it is. You know, if you're the Prime Minister of Canada, you might be a little worried, but he's such a likable person. The media have made him out to be someone he isn't. They vilified him and maligned him and lied about him, and he loves our country. That is the main thing. And like the Bible says, a tree is known by its fruit. A politician is known by their policies. And you can look at what President Trump did in his first term and what he's planning to do now. He loves our country. He's here to advocate for regular Americans, for farmers, for rural areas, for small businesses, for our veterans. He is going to make things better for Americans.
We're speaking with Congresswoman Mary Miller, Illinois' 15th District Representative. We talked a little bit about the Hunter Biden pardon. President Biden has also offered a whole bunch more commutations and pardons. I'm wondering if when Donald Trump assumes office on January 20th, if you hope to see him pardon anybody.
Well, I think the January 6th prisoners are definitely, he's already signaled that he's going to be looking at that. And I think these ridiculous pardons that Biden has been giving out that are unprecedented, by the way, has made the way for President Trump to be able to do this. And all the Christians that have been targeted, you know, the Biden administration through grandparents in prison, you know, decent people for praying at outside abortion clinics.
Hmm. Yeah, I agree with that. I think that the January 6th question of pardons is one that is on a lot of people's minds. We've got the report. We spoke earlier in this show with Will Chamberlain about the news about the FBI confidential human sources that were present. Do you think that Donald Trump will issue a blanket state pardon upon reassuming office, or do you think it'll be a little more surgical than that?
I think it'll be more blanket pardon, but, you know, he's going to do, he's not going to let someone get off for if they went after a policeman or something, the
right.
Capitol Police. But these people have been lied about. The FBI lied. It's a double standard. We have a political FBI. I'm very excited that Kash Patel is going to take over. We need him there.
Yeah, it's going to make a dramatic difference once we get that those switches made with President Trump's nominations. I wanted to ask you, I want to shift gears before we let you go and talk to you a little bit about the state of Illinois, because you, of course, work in or you're from the state of Illinois as you represent the 15th district. A lot of news is being made out of the disgust surrounding Mayor Brandon Johnson in Chicago and watching Governor J.B. Pritzker rebuff any sort of pressure that is being put upon states to cooperate with the deportation of people who are here illegally. What do you have to say to Governor J.B. Pritzker and those people within the state of Illinois about your representation of the people in your district and how it agrees with or conflicts with Governor J.B. Pritzker?
Well, and just like Biden has been America last, Pritzker is Illinoisans last. He's rolled out the red carpet for the illegals. We're already bankrupting. We're already bankrupt, and he's spending billions more on illegals. The Democrats want to raise taxes for illegal aliens to pay for all this and for their health care, and he does not care about our safety. And I do want to say the sheriffs in Illinois should ignore Pritzker and cooperate with ICE.
Yes, I agree with that completely. Mm-hmm. Congresswoman, thank you so much for being with us here today. We appreciate you. We want to look forward to staying in touch with you as Donald Trump reassumes office. And there's going to be so much to report on. We love having access to our conversations here. Thanks for being with us.
You're welcome.
Take
Bye-bye.
Care. Merry Christmas. Bye-bye. Congresswoman Mary Miller, Illinois' 15th District Representative. You can find her on X at Rep. Mary Miller. You can also find her at marymiller.house.gov. We're going to take a quick break here. I do want to update you before we go to a break on the developments that are taking place in Madison, Wisconsin. There are a few updates that have developed since we last discussed, and I want to make sure we're giving you the accurate information throughout the course of the day. But the new headline, according to Fox News, is that Madison, Wisconsin school shooting leaves 2 dead, 6 injured. The juvenile suspect is dead as well. A shooting at Abundant Life Christian School. Madison Police Chief Sean Barnes said at least 2 people in addition to the shooter were killed, and 6 others have been transferred to a nearby hospital with injuries. Barnes would not clarify whether the deceased individuals were students or teachers. He said the officers did not fire their weapons when responding to the scene. Governor Tony Evers has said on X, he posted, "I am closely monitoring the incident at Abundant Life Christian School in Madison. We are praying for the kids, educators, and entire Abundant Life school community as we await more information and are grateful for the first responders who are working quickly to respond." That's the latest, which is a little bit, not even possible to say encouraging, but the number was a little bit higher before. 2 individuals dead plus the shooter. That is the latest news, and we will continue to update you throughout the course of the day. We'll be right back.
Hold me tight. All the way home, I'll be warm.
To the Andy Fry Show. That YouTube live chat poll, which we haven't talked about too much, we've had a pretty busy show so far. Get on the Andy Fry YouTube live chat and vote and tell us, do you care about the mysterious drones over the United States, yes or no? I am an over emphatic yes. I absolutely want to know what they are. And in the midst of watching and seeing, really, like, what in the world is going on with the drones, but more so, it's just like anything else. The weirder they are about talking about it and the less information they provide, the more confused and interested I am in finding out what the actual deal is. But I also live in the same mindset of, I know there are things that I'm not going to know and don't need to know, because if I know them, then other people know them. Like, I'm the last person who needs to know. This is where you are supposed to trust your government. And then, well, there you have it.
Well, yeah, but it's just like the same. Everybody knows, though, there's probably technology that the government has that we have no idea what it is. But that's in a back room somewhere. This is flying over the United States for everybody to see. That's what's so weird about it. But even so, it's hard to say no to this poll, because I am interested in it, but comparative to other stories, I just don't think anything's going to come of this story. So in a sense, compared to other stories, I'm a yes, that I'm not that interested, or maybe I'm saying that backwards based on the wording of the poll.
Are you? Do you care about the mysterious drones?
Do I care?
Yeah.
Then I'm a no.
You don't care?
That's what I'm saying. Is it's hard to say. It's hard to say I don't care at all, but just there are so many other stories that I think are going to be a bigger deal. I don't think this is going to amount to anything. So in that sense, I'm not
what
that
other
interested
story
in it.
Right now is a bigger deal than mysterious drones flying over the United States.
Well. As the day goes, that's the biggest story. But things that Trump even talked about during the press conference today, I just think that stuff's more interesting to me as far as daily news goes.
How many slots do you have available and open for caring at any given one time? Like two,
as you
three?
Know, it's two or three. Yeah.
Yeah.
So this would be
because I'm
three
looking
or four.
At this going like, can you walk and chew gum at the same time?
To see you.
Can you comment on the drones that are flying around New Jersey ports? It seems like the American people have a big disconnect.
The government knows what is happening. Look, our military knows where they took off from. If it's a garage, they can go right into that garage. They know where it came from and where it went. And for some reason, they don't want to comment. And I think they'd be better off saying what it is. Our military knows and our president knows. And for some reason, they want to keep people in suspense. I can't imagine it's the enemy, because if it was the enemy, they'd blast it out. Even if they were late, they'd blast it. Something strange is going on. For some reason, they don't want to tell the people. And they should, because the people are really, I mean, they happen to be over Bedminster. They're very close to Bedminster. I think maybe I won't spend the weekend in Bedminster.
So he goes on to say he's saying there that the government should come out and say what it is, or say some version of something to the American people. But it's interesting to me at the very beginning of that clip when he's like, this reporter finally, he's like, can you talk about the drones? Because the American people want to know. Yeah. They want to understand what's going on. And, you know, like, Ryan, maybe I'm hearing this wrong, but what it seems like you're saying is you think at the end of this, it's going to be not aliens or a nuclear attack. And so you don't care. But that's because you've made a conclusion.
That's correct. Yeah. This is the same as a movie to me that you know. Everybody's saying, oh, it's a really good movie, but it's got a terrible ending. I'm going into this going, oh, I'm actually pretty interested in the story, but I just don't see that we're going to get some sort of satisfying ending and find out what it is.
You need aliens and nukes to
anything,
be satisfying?
Anything that we would find out. I just don't think we're going to find out.
Good grief.
My guess is it'll be like the balloon that they shoot it down and then we go, well, that was stupid. Why did that happen? And you're just sort of like left
even the spy balloon isn't a story that is just like a non-story. We watched Chinese launch a spy balloon and we like, as it went all the way across the nation and then we shot it down like, oh, it transversed the entire country. And we're like, maybe when it gets to the Atlantic, we'll take it out.
Yeah.
What the hell is that?
Which we did. It's so dumb. I think that's what I'm predicting that the end of this story is just going to be stupid.
That's not stupid. It's terrible and it's dangerous and it's scary.
Yeah. I'm not saying that's what I'm saying is I'm not uninterested in it. Like
you
it's got
you,
me
you said
enough.
You don't care.
But I'm a no in comparison to I think the bigger stories
that's
are going
to. That's not the question.
Well then I guess I'll say
so,
mild
let me
yes.
Let me ask you this. If headlines come out with developments on the story, are you reading them?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm reading them.
Yeah. Yeah. Brad.
As long as they're telling me some new information.
The story here is that the government isn't telling us what they are and that they know what they are. That's the story. It's either the ineffectiveness of the United States government to do what we're actually created the government to do, which is provide a modem of protection for us from foreign enemies or domestic enemies or whatever that might be, and to be clear and honest with us, and the inability of them to either not tell us that because maybe it's something that we shouldn't be worried about, or maybe it's something that we should be worried about, but they don't want to cause a panic, or maybe they're just incompetent. That when the story first came out and they're like, hey, there's some drones over New Jersey. I was where you were, Ryan. It's like, drones over New Jersey. And they're like, hey, these drones followed.
Drones over New Jersey.
Drones over New Jersey.
Then they were like, these drones followed.
I'm dreaming of no drones over New Jersey.
It's a good old 40s song.
Yeah.
Yeah, just like that.
But like when they said they started following Coast Guard ships. I'm like, okay, what is this? And then it's like more information. As the story has developed, I have started to care more and more and more because it's just right along those lines of the spy balloon thing. What are you guys doing? This is your job. This is like a number one, your job. And you're worried about all these other things. You've been worried about all these other things these past 4 years, and you can't even tell us or won't even tell us what these drones are because either you were too incompetent and you let whatever happen that these drones needed to be used, or you're too incompetent and you don't know what they are.
Do you care?
I do care a lot.
Ryan, why is he so wrong?
If the story is that the he keeps saying that the government is that incompetent, I already know that. I don't need to know that. This story doesn't add anything to that.
If you assume that the government is just incompetent, then you're ruling out the possibility that they are also working in a very, very dramatically negative way towards you. That they're not, what is the other word? It's not, I'm thinking malevolent.
Malicious.
Malicious.
Malicious is the word I was thinking. If you're saying that they're incompetent, then you're ruling out the possibility that it's malicious.
Yes. Yeah. And
you really are?
Well, no, I don't know. I mean, I have no idea whether it's malicious. I don't think it's malicious. If it is, then we're talking about foreign government. Seems like even Trump and everybody since the one congressman.
Why does it have to be foreign government?
Do you think that our own domestic government would be malicious? I mean, that's a possibility.
You should listen to the Annie Fry Show podcast.
How about malicious in this way? This government has shown itself to say that the United States people, the people of America, cannot be trusted with all the information. They've talked about having, you know, what do they call it, a ministry of truth. And we need to rein in misinformation. There's a whole attitude toward the people that they aren't smart enough to handle whatever it is that it is. This is stuff that's above you. Would you put it past them, and this would be malicious of them, to know that there's something up in New Jersey and they're investigating it, and that's what these drones are, but they're not going to tell you because you're too stupid to react the right way?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what it would be. I guess that's my question is, what are the possibilities of malicious action that it could be? Because I don't really know what they
are. Them lying to you about what it is would be malicious.
But then they would be lying to me about something. And I would want to know what the possibilities even of that something are. Right now, I'm not even seeing what that would be. So I'm still a wait and see. I'll tell you what would change it for me, though, is if we saw one over us, I would instantly go, okay,
so
now
it has to happen to you in order for you to care about it.
No, but in this instance, that would change it. I mean, I'm not completely uninterested. I just don't think we're going to ever hear a satisfactory ending to this, and it's just going to kind of fade away.
What would have to happen for you to feel like it was a satisfactory ending?
Really, any ending. Like, I don't think we're going to get an ending. I don't think we're going to get an answer from this government. I don't think by the time Trump is in office, this will still be a story. So I just don't think that we're going to get an answer because we're not getting answers.
I just think that the absence of information is its own story. And then, like, at the end of it, you have drones flying over New Jersey, and you know what those drones could be capable of doing. They're not small. Americans were getting bent out of shape over the thought of, like, the Patriot Act and the fact that they can listen in on phone calls or whatever. What can these drones do?
I'll tell you the one question that I would like answered, and again, I'm not expecting that we'll get it answered, is, if this is our government or our government knows about it, they're not alien, they're not foreign, and they can't figure out, oh my gosh, what are these things? But we do, like, our intelligence does know what they are. Let's say that they do. Why do they keep doing it now that it's become a story? That, to me, is interesting. Because the minute it becomes like everybody's focused on it, you'd think that would be cause for them to go, oh, shrink away.
I don't think so. I actually think the opposite. That, like, once they're out... I mean, it's not like they're being... They're not being sneaky.
No, that is kind of interesting to me. That they're just like...
They're not being sneaky.
We don't even care.
And when everyone's going like, oh my gosh, drones everywhere. I see them everywhere. And you've got President Trump-elect Donald Trump being like, yeah, they're flying over my place in New Jersey. That's a problem. I think that at this point, whatever they're doing, they better get it all done while they're there. You can't just be like, people can't go, oh, I see drones, and then they just go away. That's not likely.
Yeah. Well, I hope on January 20th we get an answer.
So bold. I have a theory that President Trump keeps inviting all these world leaders. Well, he said in his press conference today that they're calling him, which is a move of his own. But he's talking about how these world leaders are coming, and the press asked multiple times, like, so is President Xi going to come? He's like, I hope he does. If I were him, I'd want all of the world leaders of the Bee Gees out there, the bad guys out there, to be in the same place I am so they don't bomb it. I'd be like, Xi, you sit here. Putin, you sit here.
Yeah.
Can we get an Iranian leader? You come stay right here. And I think that'll do it. Let me swear in real quick and get the heck out of here.
Now you guys can go.
Okay, yeah. We got to leave. Bye.
Yeah, who knows. Stick around. We'll talk more about this and feature some of your comments on the Annie Fry YouTube live chat poll. For instance, Janine, who said, who in the world doesn't want to know? Of course I do. Just Ryan Wiggins. That's why we keep him around. For discussion, we'll be right back. Red tape to keep the truth confined.